Fantasy Sports Network presents NBA Takeaways.
Hello and welcome to NBA Takeaways, brought to you by the Fantasy Sports Radio Network on the NBA Sound System. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. You can find me on Twitter at Bogman Sports, at FNTSY Radio, and at NBA Sound System. We had a very productive weekend of NBA action, of course. We are creeping closer and closer and getting right up against this playoff push. I mean, it is going to be fun to watch. Now, like I've mentioned before, it seems like most teams are locked in. Not checkmarked. I mean, the Warriors got in this weekend officially, where, you know, the Bucks and the Raptors were already in. But we're getting separation, I guess is what I should say. Now, I had predicted that the Pacers would start to slip, and I thought that the Sixers and Celtics would get in there at the 3 and 4 seed, and it looks like that is going to happen. It's not there quite yet, but the Pacers have been slipping as of recent. They're 4-6 in their last 10. They are now only one game ahead of Boston, and they are a game behind Philly. So they have, Boston has the ability to push up here. What happened this weekend was, in the only game that the Pacers played, they lost at Denver 102-100. Paul Millsap hit a runner with 7 seconds left to go in the game, and the Pacers lost that game. And they had won before. Thursday night, they had won. They had beaten Oklahoma City 108-106. I mean, they just have so many close games recently. It's, you know, seems like closer games or losses. They beat the Knicks 103-98 the game before that. They lost to Philly. They lost to Milwaukee. And, I mean, they have beat, you know, they beat Chicago. But it hasn't been looking very good for the Pacers. And we talked about how many injuries that they've had and stuff. And the rotations have been getting weird for them, to say the least. In the game that was played against Denver, Jokic was actually tossed in that one. It was a weird thing. He was called for a foul. He didn't agree with it. He yelled at Tony Brothers, and we all know about Tony Brothers. He's got a quick whistle, so luckily Millsap was there to bail him out. But Jokic had 26-7-5. Jamal Murray 17-3-3-1 with he was only one of three from downtown. Millsap 15-3 and a block. Will Barton 17-6-5 and two steals. On the Pacers side, we had, of course, you know, Noel Oladipo, but they, outside of that, they seemed to be at full strength. Thad was back 18-10-1. Miles Turner 15-5, two assists, two steals and a block. Bogdanovich 16-6-2. Darren Collison 17-2-4-2. Tyreek Evans coming back from those personal days, 16 minutes, 5 points, 5 boards, 3 assists only. The Celtics also only had one game this weekend, but their game was at home against Atlanta. It was a 129-120 victory. They're 6-4 in their last 10. So, you know, that's a full two-game swing, and we're getting down here to the end of the season. These games, you know, they're not more important than the other ones, but, you know, the pressure is on now. So it's not more important. It's just that now we're in the pressure cooker. And 1 minute into this game, Gordon Hayward got hit in the head by John Collins. And I guess he was woozy after that. So he is going to wind up in concussion protocol after only a minute. John Collins been having an incredible run recently. But for Boston, Kyrie Irving missed a triple-double by one assist, 30 points, 11 rebounds, 9 assists and a steal, and 2 blocks. I mean, I'm happy to see Kyrie thriving here. You know, like I said, he can be a likable guy. He's had problems with the media, and hopefully he is putting that stuff in the past with his apology the other day. Jaylen Brown at 23 points, 3 boards, 2 assists. Jason Tatum, 18, 8, 4, and a steal. Marcus Morris with a nice double-double, 19, 11, a steal, and 2 blocks. Al Horford, only 9.6 boards, 3 assists, and a block in that one. Atlanta, on the other hand, Trae Young. You know, we talked about Trae Young and how he is improving down the stretch here. And, you know, his plus-minus is still minus 16, but I've talked about Trae Young, and far be it from me to compliment an Oklahoma player, but we know that he is piece one of this rebuild. Now, John Collins is going to be in there. Huerter's obviously going to be a big part of it, too. But it all started with this draft and taking Trae Young, because they really see him as, you know, I mean, I hate to make this comparison because it's ridiculous, but they see him as a Steph Curry type. Now, obviously, you can't sit there and say that he is Steph Curry or anything of that nature, but Steph Curry type, that's what they want out of him. But he was 26, 4 points, 4 rebounds, 2 steals. He was 10 of 17 from the field, shooting 588, only 1 of 2 from the free throw line, but he also had 5 three-pointers. Huerter had 10, 5, 3, and a steal. John Collins, 20 points, 11 boards, 6 assists, a steal, and a block. I almost traded for him in one of my leagues for my playoff run, and I absolutely should have because I am regretting it. Tayshaun Prince, 17, 4, and 2 in that game. Looking at the other teams in the East here, down at the bottom, we have this fight between the Magic and the Thunder and kind of the Hornets for this last seed here. Miami currently is a game up over the Magic for that last spot. And the Magic are 2.5 games behind the Nets. So it's going to be a close one. But taking a look at what happened this weekend, the Magic wound up winning their only game, 101-91 over Atlanta. And I tell you what, if you wanted to go and watch a game with some missed three-pointers, this was the game for you to watch. The Magic were 9 of 37 from downtown, 24%. And the Hawks were 8 of 35 for 23%. Now, you know, the Hawks were coming off a back-to-back game they played on Saturday night, like we just mentioned before. But Orlando pulled away with this one. Vooch, another huge game for him, of course. 27 points, 20 boards, 3 assists, 3 steals. Aaron Gordon, 22, 8, and 3 with a steal. Augustine had 11 points, 2 boards, and 9 assists with 2 steals. Iwundu had a career-high 14 points, 7 rebounds, a steal, and 2 blocks. Fournier, of course, all over the place, 11, 4, 4, and 1. And Michael Carter-Williams signed a 10-day contract with the Magic, I believe, on Friday, and he played in this game. He got 16 minutes in, 5 points, 4 rebounds, and an assist. John Isaac has been a sinking ship recently. He was 0 of 6 from downtown, no points, 3 rebounds, a steal, and a block. Trae Young in those back-to-back games, 20 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal. He was 9 of 18 in this game, so still shot 50%, but he was 0 for 5 from downtown. Like I said, just everyone putting up bricks. Dwayne Dedmon, 10 and 14 with 2 assists and 2 steals. So pretty good game for him. Huerter was just bricking him. 1 of 7, 1 of 3 from downtown. Everybody missing shots. Prince was 1 of 5 from downtown. Vince Carter, 2 of 6. Nobody could hit him on Sunday. The Heat, on the other hand, they are 7-3 in their last 10. They're on a one-game win streak. That was against Charlotte. But Friday night, they played the Bucks and they lost 113-98. I mean, the Bucks are a really good team. So I guess this is to be expected. Looking over there, GA, 33, 16, 9, 2 steals, 3 blocks. It's just ridiculous. Middleton, 21, 5, 8, and 1. Brook Lopez could only muster up 2 points on 1 of 6 shooting, but he had 3 blocks, a steal, 6 boards, 2 assists, so contributing wherever he can. Malcolm Brogdon got hurt in this game, only 6 points and an assist. He has a torn plantar fascia, and he is going to be out. They're saying indefinitely right now, but it looks like the timetable on that is going to be 6 to 8 weeks. So we'll see. I mean, Connaughton got a lot of minutes in this game. Ilya Sova got 21 in. So we'll see who's going to end up getting the majority of the time there. For the Heat, Waiters had 10 points, 2 boards, 2 assists, a steal. Winslow, 20 points, 2 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and a block. D-Wade, 10-1-1. Dragic, still only 19 points. He is having a hard time shaking that rust off. 2 of 9 from the field, just not good. 4-4-3. Richardson, 11-3-2. Adebayo, 10-11, 5 assists, a steal, and a block. He is a fantasy darling pickup down the stretch here. In the other game, Miami just absolutely stomped Charlotte. It was 93-75, which, drumroll please, was the lowest scoring game in the NBA this season. This was just an ugly, ugly game, but there was definitely some beauty in it. 168 combined points was the lowest. Orlando and Chicago had 170 on the 21st of December, and Charlotte's 75 points were a season low and tied the third worst total in the NBA this season. I'm reading that directly off the score. So Dwayne Wade wasn't supposed to play a ton of minutes in this game, but he got his fill. He played 28 minutes, and Spoelstra was just super happy. He said, "I'm really going to miss the heroics that Dwayne Wade had in this game next year when he's gone." I'm paraphrasing there, but in this game, Wade, 28 minutes, 17 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, and a block, 3 of 3 at the line, 2 of 2 from downtown, 6 of 14 from the field. Then, of course, we had 16, 9, 1, 2, and 1 from Adebayo. Just another great game for him with the steals and the blocks. Dragic looked much better in this game, 19, 2, and 4, 7 of 11, and 1 of 1 from the line, 4 of 6 from downtown. So maybe that night he just shook the rust off, hopefully. I know I got him in one spot, so I'm hoping he can get better. And then, you know, everybody else just contributed, not greatly. I mean, 4, 9, and 6 for Olynyk, 6, 5, 1, 1, and 3 blocks for Jones. But then on the Charlotte side, I mean, it was Jeremy Lamb and nobody. 21, 4, 1, and 4 steals for him. He was 8 of 20, which is only 40%, but 2 of 2 from the line, and he made 3 threes. Kemba Walker, of course, in this game, 10 points, 4 boards, 4 assists, a steal, 4 of 16. I believe this was the worst shooting game for Charlotte this season, too, at only 31%. So just an ugly game for Charlotte, and their weekend did not end very well at all. It had actually started fairly well. They beat Washington on the road 116-110 on Friday. So that was a great game. I mean, we had good performances all over the place from the Hornets in this one. Walker had 28 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, a block. Batum, 16-5-6. With a steal and a block. Jeremy Lamb, 18-8, an assist, 2 steals, and a block as well. Everybody had a block in this game. Oh my God. Biombo, 11-4 and a block. Bridges, only 2-5, 2 steals and a block. Marvin Williams, 2-6, 1 assist, 2 steals, and guess what? A block. It was a block party in this game. The Wizards, on the other hand, I mean, I don't even need to really touch on them. They are completely falling out of favor. Bradley Beal doing basically everything for them. 40 points in this one, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, a block, 15 of 29, shooting over 50%, 7 three-pointers in this game. Jabari Parker also chipped in with 17-11-4. Jeff Green, 22-1 and a block. And Ariza, 10 points, 8 boards, 5 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. So, like I said, it is a fight at the bottom to get that 8 seed. Personally, I still think the Magic are going to get it. I think Vooch is just playing at too high of a level to let them slip behind. But the Heat have been on a nice little tear here. 7-3 in their last 10. The Hornets, the opposite, 3-7 in their last 10. And I believe the Magic are 5-5. Yeah, 5-5 in their last 10. And the Wizards are basically out of it in the East. Now, when we look at the West, I mean, the Clippers are, you know, the Clippers are 6 games up over the Kings. The Kings have just it seems like they're packing it in. I mean, they're a game below 500 and the Clippers are 11 games above. So, I mean, we have basically all the teams locked up here, but there is all kinds of seeding stuff going on because the Warriors are, of course, sitting up front at 47-21. The Nuggets are 46-22. They are only a game behind the Warriors. And, you know, DeMarcus Cousins got hurt. He had a right foot injury, and he is going to have an MRI today as you're listening to this. So we'll see what type of, you know, how much time he is going to miss, if any at all. Houston is behind Denver, but they're three games behind Denver at 44-26. They're only a game and a half up on Portland, who's 42-27. The Thunder, 42-28. So they're only a half game behind the Trailblazers. I mean, between Houston and the Clippers at the eight seed, it is separated by 3.5 games. And first and eighth is only separated by 7.5. That's almost as, I mean, that's bigger than the gap between eighth and 10th. The Timberwolves are 16 games back. They're 32-38. So all kinds of seeding still up in the air, of course, for these teams. You know, 5-5 the Warriors are in their last 10. The Rockets are 9-1. They lost that one game against the Warriors, of course. And then Draymond had to talk some crap, of course. But what would it be without that? But they won both their games this weekend. Denver 6-4, Portland 6-4, the Thunder 4-6, and they've lost two in a row. The Spurs 8-2, and they've won eight straight games. The Jazz are 7-3. The Clippers are 8-2. I mean, these bottom teams in the playoffs are making a nice push up. And just taking a look at the Spurs and their schedule here, I mean, just what a nice little run that they've been on. They beat Portland 108-103. The Knicks, the Mavericks, the Bucks 121-114. Atlanta 111-104. Denver they beat. Oklahoma City they beat. The Pistons they beat. And it's funny because before this stretch, they, just as I'm looking at this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, they were 1-7 in the previous games before that. So Pop has got these guys absolutely surging at a perfect time for their playoff run. So they are going to be a dangerous team should everybody stay healthy in this last little stretch here. If I had to guess how the seeding would go, I would say it's probably going to stay Warriors, Nuggets, Rockets with Blazers, Spurs, Thunder, Clippers, and Jazz at the bottom. That's how I'm going to say I think that it ends up. And, you know, we have an update on this Jazz story, of course. If you haven't seen it or heard about it, the Jazz suspended or booted another fan of theirs for disparaging remarks to Russell Westbrook. Russell can't seem to get a break in that stadium at all. I mean, there was a video of it. I'm not going to repeat what the guy said. Suffice it to say, he needed to be booted. And Jazz owner Gail Miller addressed the crowd before the game on Thursday, and she had some pretty powerful words. So I'm going to put them in here so you guys can hear exactly what she said. It's just not the same me reading it.
I'd like to read a message that I have written so that it's very clear to all of you. As the owner of the Utah Jazz, I feel it's important for me to take this opportunity to express some thoughts and concerns about the unfortunate event that happened Monday night. I am extremely disappointed that one of our, quote, fans conducted himself in such a way as to offend not only a guest in our arena, but also me personally, my family, our organization, the community, our players, and you as the best fans in the NBA. This should never happen. We are not a racist community. We believe in treating people with courtesy and respect as human beings. From time to time, individual fans exhibit poor behavior and forget their manners. Some disrespect players on other teams. When that happens, I want to jump up and shout, stop. We have a code of conduct in this arena. It will be strictly enforced. Everyone who comes here, visiting teams included, deserves the right and the expectation to be treated with dignity at all times. When bad incidents like Monday night happen, it not only affects the player it's directed at, it also affects our players. Other teams are not our enemies. They are our competition. Competition is a good thing. It allows players to showcase their talents, and it allows fans to encourage, appreciate, cheer for, and enjoy those who share their talents with us. Our family has been stewards of this team for 34 years. We love sharing it with all of you and receiving your support. It is also important that you support our players as citizens of our community and treat them and their families with respect. They have chosen to become part of our community, and they make us richer with their diversity. My heartfelt request to all of you is that from this time forward, we all take pride in holding ourselves and those around us to the highest standard of decency. Use your energy cheering our team with your honest, sincere enthusiasm rather than degrading or demeaning players on the opposing team. No one wins when respect goes away. Let's be the supporting fans that our players know and deserve. Thank you, and go Jazz.
I thought that was great. I thought what she said was poignant. It cut through all of the BS, and it got right down to the point. It said, you know, we're not going to tolerate this, and this is also not what the community is. And, you know, they reached out to Russell Westbrook for comment, reporters, the media, I mean, not the Jazz, for comment about this, and he didn't have anything to say, and I think that's probably best for him. He picked up his 16th tech the other day, which means he is going to be suspended for tonight's game, which is good for me because I am playing the Welsh in a fantasy playoff league, and he's got Russell Westbrook. But Draymond said that this is a growing problem. He said, and this is his quote, "I guess it's just the nature of what we do. I don't really understand why grown men get off by coming into someone else's job and saying bull ass. I guess that's their way of letting out frustration in their life, but it's kind of stupid to me. So if I'm like someone who's probably not as happy with my life and I've got an opportunity where I'm going to someone else's place of employment and I know if I say something crazy to them and they say something crazy back, they lose money. Misery loves company. So I think our penalties are raised and blasted to the world. People will keep doing that because at the end of the day, what do they really lose?" And, you know, I'm not for athletes being able to say whatever they want to the crowd, but we got to rein this in. I mean, we've heard on this show many, many different times that this has happened this season. So we just got to get it straightened out. And I think that this offseason will be a big marker for Adam Silver. And, you know, they'll just have to work something out with all of the owners, the Players Association, and there's got to be some other thing in the not in the code of conduct. I mean, people know how to act. People just don't act right. That's the problem. Most people, it's like Gail Miller said, people forget their manners. Everyone knows their manners. Everyone has them, but they forget them or ignore them or whatever. It's like when you tell a kid to use your words, use your manners. It's not that hard. So everyone knows what to do. It's just not everyone is doing the right thing, and that should be fixed fairly quickly. I'm tired of talking about it. I hope we don't have any more of these type of events. But we did have kind of a funny one go down. KD actually talked about his burner account. Nothing surprising came from this, though. I mean, I'm a Kevin Durant shill, so and you guys shouldn't be that surprised, but he said, I wasn't used to that amount of attention playing basketball. I wanted a place where I could talk to my friends without anybody just butting in my conversations or mixing my words or taking everything out of context, because I enjoyed that place. I had an Instagram account that I used just for my friends and family. It was a cool place for me just to be, instead of worrying about Bleacher Report or Barstool mixing up anything. I want to say to CJ or friends back home, he meant CJ McCollum, I guess I try to live a normal life out in the public. Well, look, I am a KD shill, but that place is called a text message. So shoot a text message over to your friends. Tell them about that Instagram account, whatever picture you want to comment on. Don't make burner accounts. That is, beyond childish. And I love KD, but I think he's learned from that, and I'm hoping that's over. I just thought this is the first time he talked about it, and he really said nothing. What did say something to me was this weekend, Jim Boylan and Doc Rivers got into an argument, and they both got tossed. It was a weird setup because the announcers were just kind of calling the game. They didn't really see what happened, and then both coaches, bang, out, gone, finito. And I guess what had happened was Montrezl Harrell set a hard screen, and when he came across the court, Boylan started yelling at him, and that caused Doc to come over and yell at Boylan. And then the ref got in there and said, all right, that's enough. They didn't stop, so they both got tossed. Now, the reason that this is a thing is because Zach LaVine is going to cover the fine that Jim Boylan is going to receive. I mean, it's only $7,000, which for me is ridiculous saying only $7,000. But in the context of the way things have been recently with fines, that is very low. And he got league and team approval to do it, Zach LaVine did. But this was the quote that I liked. What Jim did, I personally respect that a lot. He really cares about us, and he's going to fight for us. That shows his true character and the way he feels about us. And the reason that this is big to me is because we had all those ugly incidents early in the season when Jim Boylan took over in Chicago. And, there was almost a mutiny among the players because he was running practices so hard. Now, my thought process at that point was he is trimming the fat. He's seeing who wants to be here and who doesn't want to be here. And as a result, we have Bobby Portis and Jabari Parker traded off and Otto Porter Jr. brought in. So it seems to me that the players are buying in. And Zach LaVine is going to be a huge part of this team moving forward. And him and Otto Porter Jr. and Wendell Carter Jr. coming back next season, and potentially a big pick depending on where they end up in the draft and who they end up with, or trade it maybe for a player, however it should work. Maybe they can get a free agent signing or two to come in. This team could be turned around very, very quickly. Like we pointed out at the bottom of the East, there are going to be open playoff spots. So Chicago can easily go up and grab themselves one next year, and it seems to me that they have the coach to do it with. LeBron did finally get a rest day on Friday night. This just kind of shows the direction of the Lakers. I said in the West, those playoff spots are locked up. He's not going to be able to make. It's just going to be so weird seeing the playoffs with no LeBron James. But good news on the Lakers side was that Brandon Ingram had thoracic outlet syndrome. He had surgery for it. And according to his agent, this is his quote, it's a night and day difference between a hematological issue or a blood issue, however you want to put it, and a structural issue. This was not related to his blood producing something that would cause blood clots. This was purely structural. So the clot was from something in the thoracic outlet syndrome. It wasn't because of any type of blood thing, which is just unbelievably fantastic news for Brandon Ingram and his future in the NBA. And they said that he should be good to go for, the opener next season. So we'll see how he's recovering through camp and all that process and in the preseason. But good to go. No blood problems. And that is a huge thing for him. So We're glad to hear that. But that's all I have time for today, guys. I got to go. That's it. You can find me on Twitter at Bogman Sports, at FNTSY Radio, at NBA Sound System. You guys have a great NBA day. A lot of stuff on the line coming up here. We're getting down to it. So have a good one.
For more NBA content, be sure to check out the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube stream.